Welcome, hustler, player, and swearer. You are now tuned in to the W. James Dennis Podcast. All game, all the time. Soak it up and learn to play. Visit WJamesD.com. And now, the mic is all yours.
Welcome back to the W. James Dennis Podcast, one of the most diverse podcasts in the world, alongside my blog. In this podcast, we cover a wide variety of topics. We cover the dynamics between men and women, so-called positive thinking. We cover street knowledge, we talk about progressing in life, we talk about getting the things you want, and so much more. What I talk about is called uncommon sense. Uncommon sense is knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that has been kept from many of you. And this uncommon sense, I want you to think of them as keys that will help you unlock specific doors in your life that are preventing you from achieving the level of success that you want in whatever lifestyle that you've chosen for yourself. On this particular podcast, which is a special edition podcast, I'm speaking specifically to students of the game, or for those players that are in their respective games, whatever your game may be. I'm speaking specifically to you. So if this isn't something that you're unfamiliar with, you don't know what I'm talking about, you'll still find value here. But a lot of the terminology and the way I'm going to explain things might lose you a little bit, so you can kind of catch up to speed by going to my website, wjamesd.com, and just going through the blog posts and the podcasts already there. You can catch up to speed about things. So, in this podcast, I'm going to be talking about having a dominant frame of mind, which I've spoken about before, and some people immediately get it, and there's others that need a little bit more. So, in this podcast, I'm going to be giving you that little bit more. So what I want to present is a method of developing a mental framework. Now I want you to think about that literally. It's like a frame that you're going to put things on or build something around. So like I said before, I will be using a lot of game terminology. Hey, if you're with it and you understand, all well and good. If something I say in this podcast catches your attention, again, go to my website, wjamesd.com, go to the blog section, and you can catch up with over 90 posts currently of free game, blog posts, and podcasts. Okay? Alternatively, if you want to get a little bit deeper, you can get my book. It's called Revealing the Secrets of the Game, and that is available on Amazon. So that book is, I guess you can say, much more to the point about what the game really is, how it works, and how you can use that information to empower yourself. So, again, I'm not trying to confuse anyone, but in the interest of time, I cannot break down every single term and principle that I'm going to be using. But, as always, I leave myself open to questions. So if you have questions about this particular podcast or any blog or podcast I've ever made, any of my books, email me at wjamesdennis@gmail.com. wjamesdennis@gmail.com. And also, if you choose to visit my website, you can also sign up for the Uncommon Sense Advisor. You go to my website, you can click the free stuff tab, and at the very top of the page, you can sign up for the Uncommon Sense Advisor. And basically, it's kind of like a newsletter, and I also communicate with other students of the game, giving out free game, answering Ask a Hustler questions and things like that. A little too touchy or controversial for the blog, And I also have discounts. You'll be the first to know about anything I'm currently working on and putting out. So with all that out the way, commercial's done. Now let's get in motion and get into some work. The first thing to always remember with real game, because there's fake game out there, which is a copycat or just a shadow of real game. So the first thing to remember with real game is that it can be effectively used both inside of yourself and outside of yourself. And I need to say that because there's a lot of people who claim they have game, but what they have is ineffective, and it's ineffective because they skip over something extremely important. What they do is they try to teach you to affect what's around you first instead of dealing with what's inside of yourself first. When you look at the difference between a player, which is one who plays the game, and a square, a person who is completely oblivious to the game, doesn't even know it exists, there are a few attributes and things that separate them. Let me say this before I forget. Being a player does not make you better than a square. They are both necessary in order to keep the world running, so to speak. But where the difference comes in is that the way that a player looks at life and themselves is very different than the way a square looks at life and themselves. So let me give you some contrast to expand your perspective on what I'm talking about. Example, a player controls what they think. A square continuously takes in the thoughts that are given to them. A player is about empowering themselves, and they're willing to leave the crowd behind. They don't want their voice mixed in with everybody else's voice. A square, on the other hand, gives up a lot of their power because they want to fit in with the crowd. I'll give you another example. A player always has a clear direction and design for their life. A square usually does things just because they've been told these things are cool or they're good to do. Another example, a player understands that his or her perspective, very important word there, that his or her perspective helps to shape their life. It helps to shape their reality. A square, on the other hand, hardly ever looks at things other than the way they've been taught to look at things in situations. Think about that one for a second. One more example, and we can move on. A player measures his or her progress and uses their time wisely. A square, they don't think much about progress, and they waste a lot of time. Now, which one are you now? And which direction are you headed in? Or which point are you already at? Let me give you a secret of the game. And I'm not saying that. I know it's a buzzword. Ooh, secret. But I'm being very serious. This is a very important concept for you students of the game out there. This is very important. A player and a square are the same. Despite the contrasts, the difference in them that I just gave you, they are the same. They just function at two different ends of the same pole, so to speak. So if I had a piece of paper, sheet of paper in front of me, and I drew a horizontal line across it, right? At one end, I would put player. One end of the horizontal line, I would put player right there. And at the other end of the horizontal line, I would put square. Now, the line itself represents power, mental power. So soak this up. It is important, very important for any serious student of the game to realize that a player takes back their mental power while a square gives away their mental power. They are both dealing with mental power, but one takes control and the other lets somebody else or something else take control. This is a very important distinction between a player and a square, but that doesn't make the player better than the square. In fact, you need squares, because how would you define yourself as a player unless you had something to judge that by? Think about that for a second. As a player, and again, the game has multiple layers. I'm not going to get into that. But as a player, you must become completely and totally responsible, keyword, completely and totally responsible for what happens or doesn't happen for you. When you make the mental transition, when you make that mental transition, your life will start to change. It will start to change, and I'm going to go a little bit deeper a little later on. When we are trying to develop this mental framework I'm talking about, this mental framework of being a player in whatever game you choose to put yourself in, right, you always need to keep in mind that a player should be doing something. They should be producing something. They assimilate knowledge. They gather knowledge, the best knowledge that they can find, and they assimilate that into their life so they can produce something. A player is a producer, a square is a consumer. They are both necessary, again, to keep the world kind of running. Okay? So, the very foundation for developing a mental framework for yourself as a student of the game, and I'm not going to do this for you. You have to do it. You got to do the work. Because you know you better than any other person on this planet. At least I hope you do. You need to begin to design your perspectives based on who and what you are and what you want to become. Now, peep the game in this. Important. The way you think determines what happens to you. I'll repeat that. This is very important as developing a mental framework for yourself. The way you think determines what happens to you. Example, if you think you can't do something, you can't do it. If you think you're not worthy of something, then you're not worthy of it. If you think you lack, if you think you have limits, if you doubt yourself, if you constantly feel like you're a victim, which is square thinking, if you can't decide what you should be thinking at all, if you can't make decisions, then your life is going to reflect that. Your whole life is going to be like a ball of confusion. You want to understand the mental framework of an average person, you can go to their house, and if their house is cluttered and full, that is a reflection of their mind, what's going on inside of their head. They're cluttered, mentally cluttered. You understand what I'm saying? Your life reflects the way you think, and the way you think is based on your perspectives. Because your perspectives determines the choices that you make. And I say this over and over and over again, because my hope is that the repetition of it will eventually sink in so you can use that concept in your life to your benefit. The way you think, I'm repeating it again, the way you think affects what choices you make. The way you think determines what choices you see in front of you. Let me give you an example. Let's say I want to be an entrepreneur. This means that I want to have some form of business. But this choice, based off of my perspective, requires a different frame of mind. I cannot be an entrepreneur thinking like an employee. They are two totally complete opposite frames of mind. An entrepreneur needs to be active. They need to make things happen. An employee waits. They wait for the off days. They wait for their vacation. They wait for it's time to go to work. They wait for it's time to go to lunch break. They wait for their breaks. They wait until it's time to get off. That is a completely, totally different frame of mind than an entrepreneur. You cannot wait around as an entrepreneur. If you're an entrepreneur and you're waiting on customers, please email me and tell me how that's working for you. These are two totally different frames of mind. So as an entrepreneur, I need to think like an entrepreneur. When I think like an entrepreneur, I will make moves in my life and make decisions based upon that. Again, my perspective. So, and because my mind is channeled in this particular direction, I'll be able to spot opportunities. I'll come up with business ideas. A lot of business ideas will come to you, and I'll be finding ways to constantly improve my strategies, improve my tactics, and increase my bottom line. And all of this will happen because this is the way I see my life, my perspective, and this is the way I think. And because of that, I will see options before me that a person who does not think like an entrepreneur will miss. They won't be able to see those choices because they can't see them because they don't think in that way. Let me give you a very simple example. Let's talk about McDonald's for a second. McDonald's was a brainchild of the McDonald's brothers. I believe that was sometime back in the 1940s, if I'm not mistaken. Then around the late 40s, they came up with a kind of a production system, a line production system that increased the speed at which they can get the food out to the customer. Now, this wasn't a new idea at the time, but their system was extremely effective for their business. So here comes a man named Ray Kroc, who, by the way, was already a businessman. Ray Kroc saw the potential in the restaurant that the McDonald's brothers did not see. He had a different perspective. So he franchised one of their restaurants. I think it was the mid-1950s. He franchised one of the McDonald's restaurants and then realized what he had and what he could do, the potential in what he could do. Then he bought the McDonald's brothers out, and the rest is history. Ray Kroc's perspective and vision, which was much more vast than the McDonald's brothers. Now, of course, that's obvious now, but how was Ray Kroc, all those decades ago, how was he able to gauge the potential and also execute it? Much of that was based on the way he thought versus how the McDonald's brothers thought. Again, that's obvious now, but they didn't think that way, because if they did, they would have never sold McDonald's to Ray Kroc. Think about that. To them, that sounded like a fantastic option because that's the way they thought. And look at the result. Let me repeat what I said before. The way you think determines what happens to you. And this is why I urge any serious student of the game to program themselves to think above average. I got a whole blog post about that on my blog, if you're not familiar with that concept. Okay? Now, thinking above average, it's not something you do or just say because I'm thinking above average just because you say you're thinking above average. You have to do it. It needs to be who you are all the time, from the time you wake up, from the time you go throughout your day, to the time you go to bed. You need to be dreaming above average. You know, this needs to be your dominant frame of mind. Let's talk about Oprah Winfrey for a second. Here you have a black woman who grew up poor. And she was born in Mississippi. Then her family moved to Milwaukee, I believe, and she went through many of the trials and tribulations of a disenfranchised inner city youth. She was raped when she was real young. I think she was 8 or 9 years old. She got pregnant when she was 14, I believe, the kid died, the baby died. You know, these regular average stories. So then she moves to Tennessee with her father. She got involved with radio around the time of 18, 19, maybe 20, somewhere around there. And that eventually led to her hosting a talk show in Chicago. And by doing that, you know, she entered an arena dominated by men in a television format that was beginning to be dominated by men. I think Phil Donahue was out at the time. And the game she was in, period, was dominated by men. But she still took the ball and ran with it. Now, think about this for a minute. Think about every external obstacle that she faced. You know, being a black person, number one, being a woman, period, number two, and no experience in that particular game, number three, and I'm pretty sure if I thought about it, I could probably come up with 9 or 10 more easy. So I have a question for you. How mentally strong did Oprah have to be to not only conquer all her external obstacles, but also be able to conquer her internal obstacles? How strong, how dominant was her frame of mind? Can you just imagine how many people told her that what she was going to do and what she was trying to do was not going to work? Can you imagine how many people tried to block her progress? Can you imagine how many people hated on her, put her down, disrespected her? Imagine that for a moment, what she went through. She accomplished something at that period of time, and I don't care if you like Oprah or not, let's just deal with what is. She was able to accomplish something at that particular time in American history that I'm pretty sure nobody thought at that time it, you know, that could be done. Definitely not to that capacity. Now, it's probably true that as she went on, I'm pretty sure she started to become successful. People helped her with her career. And, you know, you get more money, you get more connections at a certain level of any game. But again, just her starting out from nothing requires a dominant frame of mind, a very strong, laser-like focus. Most people run into one or two problems. They're trying to do something new, trying to do something a little different. They run into one or two problems and they just give up. Most people lose one thing or lose a couple things and, oh, it's a sign. I think I made the wrong decision. You know, I'm not even going to tell you how much stuff I've personally lost over the years. I might tell you all that story. But loss goes with the game. It comes along with the game. Both the good and bad sit at the same table at the same time. Let me repeat that. This is game. Peep this. Both the good and the bad sit at the same table at the same time. So whatever game that you're going into, any problems that the people that went before you in that game faced, you're going to face similar problems. You're going to face similar situations because you're putting yourself in that particular game. You're running in that particular lane. So you need to mentally accept that and prepare yourself for that. But you know what? Life is a series of problems that must be solved. So as a player, it's going to be okay because you're going to make it okay. And this, again, needs to be your dominant frame of thinking. Loss goes with the game. And the reason you need, one of the reasons, not the reason, but one of the reasons you do need to lose things as you're on this path to becoming a player is because most of us have a full cup. So when you're doing something new, there needs to be room made for new things to come into your life. So you're going to have to lose some things so that new stuff has room to come in. Okay? Anyway, back to the point. So how is this done? How can a person get into and start to form this mental framework to go from being a square to a player. Now, let me say this real quick too, before I forget. Remember that all players start out as squares. Every last one of us. So set aside the ego tripping for a second. And like I said before, at the beginning of this podcast, let's get down to some real work. First, you must have a goal. I know everybody says that. You need to have goals. You need to be goal-oriented, blah, blah, blah. But as a player, you want to eventually get to the point that you have a life purpose. Goals are fantastic. They are good. They give you focus and they give you direction. But a life purpose is something that you have to develop in yourself, and it needs to be so strong that you're willing to die for it. It's a powerful statement. So being a boss player is a great goal, but in order to be a boss player, you have to have a purpose. Does that make sense? Your life needs to be about something. It needs to represent something that is greater than yourself. I want you to name one person who's great in their life that did not affect hundreds, thousands, or maybe millions of people. Name me one. Next, you have to begin to shed this square social conditioning, these morality and ethics. I'm trying to keep this clean. You need to start shedding this stuff. Now, this is a scary part for any student of the game, because your mind is going to naturally fight against this because it's been programmed to fight against this. You have to learn to accept that the majority of what you've been programmed, literally programmed to think, is limiting. And some of it is just completely wrong. So I urge you to start to really question everything you've been taught. Everything you've been taught. Even question me, the stuff I'm teaching you now. You need to question it. As a matter of fact, I leave myself wide open to questions. Every single question. And those that have had consultations with me, one-on-one consultations, will let you know that I tell them to come in with questions for me. They grill me about anything that I teach. I don't put any limits on what they can ask me, because I want you to ask questions. I never wanted to be a teacher that just sits up here and dictates to you. If something is confusing, something doesn't make any sense, you can question me on it. Period. Okay, again, getting off topic. Follow along with me, and I don't want you to get sensitive. Don't get sensitive, but follow along with me for a minute, because I want to challenge your thinking. If you were never taught to respect your elders, would you respect your elders? I know a lot of you out there have young children, and you already know that they don't have a filter on what they have to say when they're young. They don't have the filter. You know, they don't have that filter in their minds. And sometimes, as a parent, you feel embarrassed with some of the things that come out of their mouth, because you've been programmed to believe that some things are just ethically not correct to say. But those programs are not yet in your children. It's not in their minds yet, so they don't think like that. You have to program them to think like that. You follow what I'm saying? If I go to a funeral of someone that I barely know, because of the way we've been programmed with square social conditioning, these ethics and morals, and I go to a funeral of somebody I barely know, I have to all of a sudden act sad. If I'm not there looking sad, acting sad, people are gonna think something's wrong. But you don't know the person. Let's keep it real. You don't know the person, so why are you acting sad? Why are you being fake about it? You're being fake about it because you've been programmed that acting sad is socially correct. It's ethically and morally correct. You're at a funeral, so you need to be looking sad like everybody else, even if you don't know the person. And you keep it real. We're talking about keeping it real with yourself. You would do it because you would feel wrong not doing it. Now, where did that thinking come from? need to start questioning things like this. And I know I'm pulling out just random examples, but you need to start questioning where this stuff came from. We've been programmed to think that earning money comes from hard work. Where did that thinking come from? We've been programmed that we need to lock the door before we leave the house. I said that before. Now, I'm not saying don't lock your door before you leave the house. I'm not saying be a idiot and be foolish. I'm not what I'm saying. I just want you to start questioning your thinking and where trace back where this thinking came from. Why can't you have the life you want? Why is what you have to tell people or teach people or the world any less important than what Oprah has to teach? Why can't you have the career you want or the business you want? Why can't you have the love that you want? Why is it so difficult for many of us to make decisions about things? As a player, as a student of the game, if this is the path you've chosen for yourself, and again, if you haven't chosen, then this doesn't really apply. But as a student of the game, you have to start letting go of square social conditioning, square morality, square ethics. Because 75%, not all of it, but about 70-75% of this stuff is based off of fear. Fear. Fear of not being accepted. Fear of not being looked at as being right or good or righteous. Fear of not fitting in with everyone else. Fear of being looked at as different or weird. Fear of rejection. Fear of someone being strong enough to take advantage of you. Fear of missing out on something, even though you're not currently happy with the life that you have. If you're not currently happy with the life you have and you're scared to make a change, what are you fighting so hard to hold on to? That's my question. What are you fighting so hard to hold on to? Talking about questioning yourself, try this one. Where has your current level of thinking got you? At what point do you realize that maybe, just maybe, you are playing yourself into a miserable existence? The way you think determines what happens to you. This is about you, not what anyone else says, not what anyone else does. This is about you, just you. And until you choose to think different and choose to do things different, you're going to keep getting what you've already been getting. People have been saying this for years, and it's the truth. Period, point blank, is the truth. I can't say it any simpler than that. And what's even funny is a lot of you all already know this. But what's keeping you from making that change? I'll tell you what's keeping you. Fearful thinking. Fearful thinking leads to doubt, it leads to worry, it leads to this feeling of a lack of confidence and all those other negative lines of thinking. You're scared. Yes, most of the problem, I won't say all, but most of the problem is you're scared. And this is one of the first things you have to admit to yourself. You're scared. It's like going to a AAA meeting, Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, and they say, stand up, say, well, hi, my name is James, and I'm an alcoholic. Well, as a student of the game, one of the first things you need to do to yourself is stand up and say to yourself, hi, my name is James, and I am scared. I fear things. I'm scared about not fitting in. I'm scared about looking weird. I'm scared about what other people may think of me. You need to admit these things to yourself and start questioning where this thinking came from. When you think in the terms of fear, you will choose to talking about decisions and choices. Think in terms of fear. You will choose to do things a certain way that reflects that thinking. The way you think determines what happens to you. So even if you make a decision to do nothing based off of fear, you're still making a choice. When we say in the game that you need to die to yourself, this is a big part of what we're talking about. You need to let this programming go. I'm not saying be ignorant of it. I'm not saying ignore it. I'm saying to take control of your mind and don't allow yourself to feed into this fear. Do not allow it to be included in the overall framework of your thinking, your overall frame of mind, your dominant frame of mind. Now, on the opposite side of the coin, it's not about loving the whole world either, but you should come to love yourself. When you come to terms with who you are, and you can accept that, and you can start improving from the point where you're at, you will become a light, for lack of a better term. You will become a light that will attract other people trying to also find the light in themselves. It's an old principle in the game called each one, teach one. And I won't go too far into that because that branches off into a whole nother topic. But in the square world, you're taught that you need to have this. You need to be chasing after that. You have to possess this. And when you get all those things, and when you do all these things, you will finally have become somebody. This is what they teach you. Square thinking. And that is some of the most backwards, smallest form of thinking you could accept for a student of the game, that is. Again, if you're not a student of the game, this doesn't apply. But if you are, listen. In order to have what you really want to have in your life, you first have to mentally, in your mind, you first have to mentally become the person who can hold what you bring into your life. You must become first. Then you can have and do all those things that you want. You don't go get the things first and then become somebody. No, you have to become first. And the things that you want and can do will be made available to you, or you'll find a way to make them available to you. Because if you go the square route, trying to have and do things before you become, you won't have the mental capacity to hold these things in your life. Now, don't take my word for it. I've said this many times before, but it has been proven over and over when they studied lottery winners, when they studied people who inherited large sums of money, and people who inherited family businesses. And I'm just using these as an example. There's other examples. But they did studies of these people. And most of these people that had these large sums of money, either won them or inherited them, these large sums of money, in a matter of only a year, maybe 2-3 years, they were right back in the same financial position they were in before they got that money. Now, why does that happen? It's because they don't have the proper mental framework. That's what we're talking about in this podcast. They don't have the proper mental framework, meaning they don't have the mental capacity to think in a way that allows them to hold these things in their life. And by right, they don't deserve them because they don't see the value of holding them in their life. And this goes back to the way they think. Now, I've just given you a ton of game. And this podcast is running a little bit over, but I really want to get out as much as I could. So, although this might sound harsh to some of you listening, I'm not going to put all this together for you. You need to do the work. I gave you the keys and showed you some doors. But you have to unlock those doors and walk through those doors, those doorways. Remember, this is self-empowerment. Empowering yourself. Power. Mental power. Discovering and using the power in yourself, and that starts with you questioning your thinking and where this social conditioning and these square morals and ethics came from, and deciding if they are still valid for your life today. Because when it's all said and done, you must live the life you advocate. Like I said it earlier in the podcast, you cannot be an entrepreneur, you cannot be a boss and think like an employee. It does not work. So do yourself a favor and examine your thinking. Do yourself a favor and examine your life. Your life is the direct reflection of the mental power you have gathered up to this point. So my question to you is, are you satisfied with that? And if not, then you have some work to do. And all this work starts in your mind and the way you think, your perspectives. Thank you for spending this time with me. And as always, I say this, and I'm sincere when I say this, I hope you've gotten something from this podcast. I hope you've really taken something away. And it might have seemed like I rambled on and just randomly hit different points. But for any serious student of the game, you'll be able to go through this podcast and be able to pull out what you need to pull out and start creating this mental framework for yourself, for whatever game that you're moving into, or if you're already in a game, how you can begin to shed that last little bit so you can start flying. If you have any questions about anything in this podcast, hit me up on my email. That's wjamesdennis@gmail.com. wjamesdennis@gmail.com. Be sure to visit my website, wjamesd.com. Thank you for listening.